Well, I believe that Christians ought to have victorious lives, don't you? I think we ought to have victory and power in our lives as we live for the Lord. And I don't think that Christians need to be defeated. But that isn't going to happen accidentally. There are some principles that I want to give you very quickly tonight that are principles for powerful Christian living. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to sort of hurriedly tonight go over these principles, but I hope you'll jot them down, think about them, and let God use them in your life. They're all right here in Philippians chapter 4. These principles, and they are proven principles for powerful living. We don't need to be weak Christians. We need to be powerful Christians. We need to live a life that really has power in our witness and power with our relatives and friends. And we need to have power as believers. And so we look first of all at the principle of persistent prayer. Very elementary, but often very neglected. Verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be worried about things, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So if you're going to live a powerful Christian life, then you're going to have to learn the principle of persistent praying. Not just in and out, up and down, roller coaster type praying, but a prayer life that is consistent and persistent as you go before God. We all have problems. We all have things that come into our lives. And we can make up our mind, what are we going to do with them? Are we going to worry about them? Or are we going to turn them over to God? The best thing to do is turn your problems over to God, isn't it? Everybody probably came in here tonight with some kind of problem. I don't know. You know your challenges. God knows them. But one of the best things you can do is take whatever trials or problems you're going through. It may be your family. It may be finances. It may be health. It may be teenagers giving you a hard time. It may be the parents of teenagers giving you teenagers a hard time. It can be all of that. It can be a number of things, but let me tell you what to do with them. Get on your knees in prayer and take them to God in prayer and leave them right there with Him. Don't try to carry that around with you. You can't do it. You don't have the strength to do it. But pray, persistent prayer. Another thing is proper thinking. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, and watch what he says here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Boy, that's needed. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Every one of those things are good things. How is your thought life? What do you think about all the time? What captivates your mind for most of the time? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, and that's our mind, our heart connected in that emotional relationship, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what do you think about all the time? What's in your mind? Is it good stuff? Is it holy stuff? Is it biblical stuff? And I'll assure you, there is a battle for our minds. Satan sees to it that there's a battle for our minds. Now, you may be wholly sanctified and ready for heaven, but I want to tell you, I'm not. In that sense of being completely perfect, the devil will throw a lot of junk at you and run it through your mind, and you have to learn to discipline yourself in order to have a powerful Christian life, to discipline yourself to think right. Those thoughts are going to come, but what do we do with those thoughts? And Satan will put them in our head, and God says, I'll allow them to do that. And so we go through a testing process as they come into our mind to see what we're going to do. So when a thought comes in your mind, you can do one of two things. You can refuse that thought, or you can accept that thought. If it's a good thought, that's all right. If it's a bad thought, you need to get rid of it. It comes in, what do you do with it? Get rid of it. Get it out of your mind. and just say, Satan, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want that thought in my mind. It's not a good thought. It's a bad thought. It may be jealousy. It may be envy. It may be pride. It may be something to do with immorality. It may be a number of things that comes to our mind, but we've got to get rid of it. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he gives us instruction here. The right things and things that branch off from all of those things is the right thinking. You can refuse a bad thought or you can accept it and coddle it, and that'll get you in trouble. Very quickly, here's a third thing. Positive actions. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, do. Little word, D-O. Mark that in your Bible. Underline it. Highlight it. Check it over to the side. Put three bars in the margin. Whatever you do to emphasize that it's important. He says, whatever you've heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. There's a responsibility for us to have positive actions in our life. James said, we can talk about all these beliefs and everything we do, but James said, we need to do some things. Don't just talk about being saved by grace. The grace without works is dead. It doesn't mean you're saved by your works, but it means once you're saved, there should be works in your life that tells everybody and gives them the testimony that you are born again, that you have something that means something to you. Be ye doers of the word, James says. Are you a doer of the word? A lot of people know the word, but they don't do the word. What good does it do you to know the word if you're not going to do the word? We need to do what God has taught us to do. So there's persistent prayer that is important. There's proper thinking and there are positive actions. And then there would be the principle of a pleasing attitude. Boy, is that needed in our churches. Verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Are you content tonight with whatever your circumstances are? You say, well, if you knew my circumstances, you wouldn't be content. All I know is God says, whatever they are, be content. That is the command, the imperative of God is that we do that we have a pleasing attitude. And God says, give thanks in just about all things, right? Is that what he says? He says, give thanks in all things, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks, whatever it may be. You may not understand it. Do you understand everything that happens to you? I don't. I don't understand what happens to a lot of my members, why it happens, my sheep. I don't understand that, but God does. And God knows exactly what he's doing and why he allows it and those things that come. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then there is the power for powerful thinking. We need a power that will enable us to have powerful thinking. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's the answer. I can do it not in the flesh. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You see, he reminds us that he is the branch, and he's the vine, and we're the branches that come off of that vine. And that's where we're going to get our energy. That's where we're going to get what we need to produce the fruit on those vines. And that's why he says in John 15 that we're to abide in him, abide in Christ. How do you abide in Christ? Do you know? Are you abiding in Christ? What do you do to abide in Christ? Some of these things I'm telling you about are things that we do to abide in Christ. And we have Bible study, prayer life, our devotional life, and soul winning, and a number of other things that goes into all of that in order for us to abide in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves. There it is. We don't have the power in ourselves. It is not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but Our sufficiency is of God. That's where we're going to get a power from. If you live the powerful life and the victorious life, and you're overcome sin practices in your life, and you really bring glory to God, and you have that victory, it's going to be through the power of Jesus Christ. You have to have Him, and you have to be yielded to Him. And then there's the provision for powerful living. The provision, verse 19 of this chapter, as he tells us about that provision. Now, where are we going to get the provision? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply everything we need, and He'll do it for us. Now, He didn't say man was going to do it. You know, too many times we try to get people to supply the need. And it can be pastors that do it. It can be missionaries that do it. It can be Christians, whatever it may be. You know what we ought to do is get on our knees before Almighty God and ask Him to provide the need. And God can do it. How many of you believe God can provide your need tonight? Say amen. Amen. He has all power. He is not limited. God can do that. But we too often go to man, or we think the government is supposed to take care of it, or whatever. Listen, God is our source of power and strength in order to do the job. The provision for powerful living is God, is Christ, not man. Now let me ask you this question. How are you living? How are you living? Ask yourself the question, how am I living? Are you living a victorious life? Are you living a powerful life for God? Are you living for Him like that? Here's the recipe. Here's some practical biblical principles that will help us live a powerful, victorious Christian life for God. And may I say this to you, you're not ready to live a powerful life until you know Jesus as your Savior. You see, it comes through Him. You cannot live the powerful life, the overcomer's life, the victorious life, until you first come to Christ. It all starts with a new birth, and then you grow in the Lord, and you learn these principles so that we can have a powerful life. Paul said, for me to live is what? Christ. Or is whom? Christ. For me to live is Christ. And that's the important thing. And to die is gain. It all starts with Jesus Christ. If you ask yourself the question tonight, be honest in your heart and soul, are you living a powerful, victorious Christian life? If not, do business with God. Ask Him to help you. You may need to rededicate your life. If you're here without Christ, trust Him as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. I believe that everybody here, I really believe if you're saved, you want to live a victorious and powerful Christian life. And here are some of the ways. May God help us tonight to determine that's what we want to do and do it. If you're here without Christ, please come. Just step out from wherever you are. It all begins with Jesus, accepting Him as your Savior. Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is so powerful. It instructs us in how to live the powerful Christian life. And I pray that You'd help us, first of all, to desire that, to want to do that for Your glory, because we love You and because we love You, Jesus. That we want to live a life that counts, a life that means something, a life that brings glory to You, God, a life that You can use. Not a defeated, weak, puny Christian life. Not a lukewarm Laodicean life, but an on fire for God life. Lord, help us to covet and desire that. I pray if there's someone here without Christ, they'd be saved. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.